Okay, we are in the book of Rav Shalom, Gan Shalom. We are on page 20. We are in the first perek where the Rav is discussing what is the point of getting married. Yesterday we spoke about the fact that getting married seems to be against the purpose of creation rather than for it. The purpose of creation is to get to know Hashem, to serve Hashem, and to do that through Torah and mitzvot. And getting married just seems to take a person, a man anyway, away from that. It takes him out of the Beit Midrash, takes him away from Torah study, takes him away from his davening, and puts him into a world of physicality, dealing with all the physical problems, needing to make parnasa, looking after the children, going shopping. Relationship between man and his wife is very physical. So it takes him away from serving Hashem, apparently. So why bother? So that was a question that Rav Arish brought. And then he told us the answer. The answer is that the whole purpose of creation is for man to get married and have shalom bayit. If a man doesn't get married and does not achieve shalom bayit, he hasn't achieved his purpose. He's missed the boat. In order to illustrate this fact, Rav Arish now brings us two stories. Two stories which are, as you're going to see, they're made up stories, they're quite exaggerated, but they're brought for a reason. They're brought in order that we can learn from them, because within these stories, although they're exaggerated and they're not exactly day-to-day life, we have a bit of us, maybe even a lot of us, in each of these stories, and it's important for us to recognize ourselves within these stories. So on page 20, we're going to kick off with the first one. The first one is called Hakadosh HaParush Shlita, the Holy Parush. What's a parush? A parush is a person that separates themselves away in order to for the holy intention of serving Hashem, but they make themselves parush, separated from the community, separated from the physical world. The Holy Parush Shlita. So the story begins. Kvab et siyuroto, hechlita kadosh ha-parush shlita, shechosha nafshob Torah. Even when, from a young age, the Holy Parush decided that he was going to dedicate his life to Torah. Yofi, very nice. V'hu evin, shadavar tov biyoter bishvilo, hu lishar ravak, and he decided that the best thing for him in order to fulfill this goal of going after Torah, acquiring Torah, was to remain single and to find himself a nice quiet Beit Midrash, Shesham Yashav Kol Yamav Ala Torah V'Ala Avodah, and over there he could spend his whole life in Torah and Avodat Hashem. Very nice. That's what he decided. Mahem od matza kadosh baruch shlita, kadosh parush shlita, Beit Midrash katan. Very quickly, the Holy Parush found a Beit Midrash, a small Beit Midrash, be'ir nidachat, in a faraway city. Ubikesh rishut mi'agabai likbo et mishkan sham. And he asked the gabai there for permission to fix himself a place over there in the Beit Midrash. Kishehu meftiach lo lafriya lo v'lo latrid shum adam. And that he asked the gabbai to promise him that he wouldn't interfere and he wouldn't disturb him, or just let him stay in the Beit Midrash and learn Torah and serve Hashem. V'kach asak ha-kadosh ha-parushita. And the gabbai agreed, and this is what the Holy Parish did. He buried himself in Torah and Tefillah day and night without any interruptions. Wonderful. Ubekoshi yatsami Beit HaMidrash. Only with difficulty he ever left the Beit HaMidrash, only if he really needed to. Lechem Yavesh. For his food, he sustained himself on leftover pieces of bread. Shata Maim Meaberes. He drank water from the tap, from the faucet. V'yashan al-gabei hafsasel. And he would sleep on the bench. That was his life. Torah, tefillah, day and night, bread and water, and sleeping on a bench. Wonderful. Kach avu yamav, yamei chayav, b'pinato ashketa. So passed his days in this quiet corner. Ad sheboker echad matzal gabayet hakadosh parul shlita hayashish ochun al sifro ulo rachaim. Until one morning the gabai found him with his head face down in the book, no life left in him. Gone to the world, his next world. Kol b'nei ha'ira livu et hakadosh parul shlita darko achrona. All of the city accompanied him on his levaya to his final resting place. Keshuma alim et prishoto v'sitkato. And they all praised him for his great
righteousness.
Hem hayu batuchim she'adam kazeh she'lo haya lo asek im ha'olam hazeh klal hu bevadai tzadik gadol ma'od. They were certain that this chap, who didn't involve himself in the nonsense of this world at all, for sure he was a big tzaddik. The Maaseh gam hakadosh ha'parul shlita haya b'deah achat imahem. In truth, the holy parish also agreed with them. He was of the same opinion. U'kishaltal nishmato lebeit din shel mala. And when his neshama went up to Shamayim, to the heavenly court, haya batuach she yakbilu et panav kitot shel tzadikim. He was certain that he would be greeted by masses of tzadikim, b'chinorot nevalim, with instruments and music, almanat lelavot oto lemakomo shel b'Gan Eden, in order to accompany him on his way to his final resting place in Gan Eden, the big palace he was expecting to receive. Sham yitaneg meziv hashchina b'yachad im sha'at tzadikei olam. And over there he would bask in the glow of the Shechina with the rest of the world, the tzadikim of the world. Yofi. Aval, but letzara rav, unfortunately, to the disappointment shel ha kadosh ha'porosh shita, to the disappointment of the holy parish, lo kidmu et panav kitot shel tzadikim. The masses of tzadikim didn't come to greet him when he got there. Hu ha'arak et nishmat nishamot avotav omdot lenegdo b'panim nechulot. Instead, he just saw the nishamot of his forefathers, his fathers, standing there with fallen faces. And immediately they took him to the heavenly court where everyone was there looking very serious. Av Beit Din, the head of the Beit Din, patach et sifro shel hakadosh haparush shlita, opened the book of the holy parish, v'hechal limnot et kol hamitzvot, and began to go through all of his mitzvot shakadosh parosh asad that the holy parish had done. Bachakach panai lav bishmo haprati shu mitalem lacholotim bichvodo, and turned to him using his first name. He said to him, Yoske, Yoske, he called him. Lamadata harbe Torah, you certainly learned a lot of Torah. Psh, kol hakavod. Het palalta, you davened a lot. Be'orachta, you made lots of brochas. Very nice. Henachta tefillin, betatafta betzitzit, you put on your tefillin every day and you wrapped yourself in your talit. יפה מאוד. שמרת שבת וימים טובים. You guarded the holy Shabbos and the Yom Tov days. So what ועוד? You fasted, etc. ולמעשה קיימת כל המצוות שבין אדם למקום בשלמות. And in practice, you fulfilled all of the mitzvahs between man and God completely. Very nice. Ach, but למרות כל זאת, despite all of that, לא עשית את שליחותך. You did not complete your reason for being there. Your shlichut. The reason you were sent. שבשבילה נשלחת לעולם. For the reason that you were sent into the world. The reason you came into the world, you did not manage to do. אמנם למדת תורה, even though you learned lots of Torah. אבל לא קיימת אותה, you didn't fulfill it. You might have learned the Torah, but you didn't fulfill it. The difference. אם רק היית מתחתן, if only you'd be married, היית רואה, you would have seen, שאתה רחוק מקיום התורה, that you're far from the fulfillment of the Torah. והיית מתאמץ לבוא לקיומה. And you would have put in effort to fulfill it. The Rav's going to go on to explain in more detail, but just in essence, what he's saying here is that just by learning Torah, you don't know if you're fulfilling it. You're not being tested on it. You're only learning it. I'm learning about it, but I'm not actually conscious of whether I'm really fulfilling it. The Gemara says that a person cannot fulfill a mitzvah until he first stumbles in that mitzvah. A person has to first stumble in a mitzvah before he can actually acquire it. Before he can acquire it. Before then, he hasn't acquired it. What does it mean, he hasn't acquired it? First of all, like we spoke about yesterday, it's a free gift. It's a free gift from Hashem that we get to do the mitzvahs. It's a free gift until we actually acquire it ourselves. How do we acquire ourselves? Only by stumbling in it, failing, picking ourselves up, and then fulfilling it. Person, one of the reasons why a Baal Teshuva stands where a Tzaddik Gamor cannot stand is because we first fell. We stumbled and we continue to stumble, Baruch Hashem, constantly. But we pick ourselves up. When I'm down and I choose to pick myself up, then it's me acquiring the mitzvah. I'm actually putting in my effort. I'm putting in my ratzon, my desire. I'm acquiring it for myself. If, however, I never ever failed in this mitzvah ever, and straight from when I was born, I was taught what to do. I was taught how to eat kosher. I was taught how to fulfill all the mitzvot, and I just did it. I never failed. I never stumbled. I never had a desire not to do it. Ah, but now if I do fail, let's say I have a big desire to eat a cheeseburger, Chas v'Shalom, and I go and I want to eat cheeseburgers. So I go and eat cheeseburgers because I've got a real desire for that. Ah, now if I start to keep kosher after that, now I've done something. Now I've achieved something. But if I just kept kosher because, well, it didn't really interest me. Never really interested me cheeseburgers in the first place. What's the point? So I haven't really acquired the mitzvah of kashrut. I never fought. I never struggled for it. I never had to overcome my yetzer in order to acquire it. Same thing here too with the parash. The holy parash never had to struggle for his Torah. If I'm sitting in a Beit Midrash with a chavuta that's mamash matim for me on my level, I've got great teachers, they're teaching me everything. Where's the challenge? Where's the struggle? Now if I have to get married and I have to struggle for it, now then it's real. Then I've really acquired it. Yofi. So now that's what Rav Arish is going to explain now. Haloya data, the Beit Din says to the parish, Shetachlit HaTorah Hi Emuna. Did you not realize, they tell the parish, that the whole purpose of learning Torah was to reach Emuna. Kol HaMitzvot Emuna. V'amadirga Shelcha Be'emuna Hi Katana Ma'od. Don't you realize that your emunah is actually very small? stuck over there in the Beit Midrash with no tests and no struggles, your emunah is actually very small. Ilu hayita mitchaten, if you would have got married, hayita nitzrach la'amod b'nisyonot im ishtecha. If you would have got married, you would have had to have gone through tests with your wife. Uksheita monach otach. And when she would have prevented you, she would have got in your way. Doreshet dvarim, she would have asked you for things. B'chulei, etc. Hayita nichshal b'chol nisyonot. You would have failed in all of those tests. B'chol shechen, im hayita mevaze otcha. Even the more so, if she would have embarrassed you, or mochicha otcha, or rebuked you. B'vadai hayita ko'es. For sure you would have got angry. U'bo'et b'yisurim. You would be full of suffering. V'hayita mevin. And then you would have known. Kama avodah al emunah atatzarech. How much avodah on emunah you need. You never got to realize how much avodah, how far away you were. You never got to realize how bad your midot were. You never got to realize how little emunah you had. Why? Because you were never tested. Sitting in the Beit Midrash, you don't have those tests. You have little tests. So I got on the bus, and the bus driver wouldn't accept a 100 shekel note and said, sorry, no change, you're going to have to get off. And I had to stop myself from getting angry with the bus driver. Yeah, fair. It's nice, but it's not the pinnacle of nisyonot. It's good, but it's not like being married. Right? It's not the same. Sorry, guys, it's not the same. Being married is a little more testing than that occasionally. Right? And only then we're going to get to realize actually where we're holding. And where we're holding is for sure, unfortunately, it's going to be a little bit of a surprise to us, but we're actually not holding where we thought we were. We thought that everything was going really great. Pretty much, I'm basically a tzaddik. I haven't yet got the rabbanut and but everything else I'm pretty much covered, doing all my mitzvahs as I should be. I'm doing pretty well. I'm pretty much there. Hashem's pretty happy with me. My midot are pretty good. The Shadchan gave me a good write-up, said I've got good midot. I believe her. She knows what she's talking about. So I've got good midot. My wife-to-be thinks I'm great. She knows what she's talking about. Everything's good. Unfortunately, what am I going to find out? I'm going to find out that really, I have a lot yet to be discovered within my personality. I'm deeper than I think I am, Baruch Hashem. And I have a lot yet to work on. But I'm only going to find that out when I get married. Only then the tests are really going to come, and only then my midot are really going to show. Let's continue. Chashavta sheyesh lecha bitachon. The Beit Din tells the parush, you thought that you had bitachon. You thought you had trust in Hashem, bitachon. Aval ilu hayita mitchaten, but if you would have got married, vayita tzarech lefarnes isha v'yiladim, and then you would have had to have brought in a parnasa for your wife and children, hayita megaleh, you would have revealed to yourself, maher ma'od, very quickly, she'ain lecha bitachon, that you actually don't have bitachon at all. It's a different issue to have bitachon for me. Tom, I'll live with what I live on. If I eat cornflakes for 3 days and that's all I eat, right? I don't care. It's good. I'll manage. I'll go to a friend. He'll give me lunch, right? It's all good. But when I've actually got to start earning parnasa for a wife and children, toi vavoi, then I'm going to really see if I've got bitachon or not. Dochak, and at every time of emergency, every force, every time there was pressure, you're going to fall into Yeush. You would have fallen into Yeush, Ba'at's foot, into despair, into sadness. Not only would you fall into despair, and sadness from the fact that I can't make parnassa for my wife and kids. But then, even if I was making parnassa, I'm going to fall into the opposite. From the hishtadlut that I would be putting in, all that effort that I would put in order to make parnassa, now I'm going to fall into tavat mamon, desire for money. Right? I'm going to have that problem to deal with. All these challenges, they come along with marriage. And therefore I would have been forced to begin to work to acquire the midah of bitachon. I would have no choice. Once I'm married, I've got no choice but to work on my midah of bitachon. A person cannot live without bitachon in a married situation. It's far too stressful. A person doesn't know where the money's coming from, who's going to pay the bills at the end of the month, how the mortgage is going to get paid. If it's just me, it's just me, I'll manage, I'll get on. But when I'm actually responsible for someone else, responsible for my wife, responsible for my children, then that's real pressure. They're relying on me, they're looking at me to bring in the parnasa. Then I need bitachon. And then I'm forced to actually learn what it means to have bitachon. Savlanut, what about patience? Lo haya lecha shum nisayon bazeh. You had no test whatsoever in patience. The Beit Din tells the parush. Ilu hayta mitchaten, if you would have got married, hayta yodea she'en lecha tipat savlanut. If you would have got married, you would have realized that you don't even have a drop of patience. Adrabah, on the contrary, atam malei b'ka'as b'kotzei ruach. You are full of ka'as and kotzei ruach. Why is this chap full of ka'as and kotzei ruach? Right? Surely he shouldn't be. He's sitting in the Beit Midrash, learning Torah day and night, praying. How can the Beit Din turn to him in honesty and say, you're actually full of ka'as and kotzei ruach, a shortness of short temper? How can they say that? And no sablonot. Because the truth is, that's the nature of man. Even though you're not being tested on it, that's the truth. That's your animal nature. You haven't been tested on it, so it hasn't been revealed to you yet. You don't realize how angry a person you are. We're angry people. We are short-tempered. Well, I'm not short-tempered. I'm quite relaxed. I'm chilled. It's not true. You think you're chilled now. But it will be revealed. All will be revealed.
Well, even that, when you ask your wife, she stops liking you, and you have more or less, and you can't spend it anyway, so then you become angry, and it's just a good
thing. Nahon, but the truth is, I'm not becoming angry. I cannot create midot that I don't have. Right? If I have worked on anger, for example, and I don't have that anger anymore, then no one can anger me. I don't have it. It's gone. It's not there. A person can't make me angry. Right? A person doesn't bring the midah of anger and put it in my lap. If I don't have it, I don't have it. The anger is with me. It's my anger inside me. It's not their problem that they dropped on me. Right? If I've got rid of the midah of anger, there's nothing anyone can do to make me angry. It's not in their hands. It's in my hands. Whether I become angry. So when my wife and children make me angry, all they're doing is revealing what's inside me. It's the meter that I haven't yet worked on. Right? No one causes me to be anything that I'm not.
You may have some experience with it, but you just have taken on an additional responsibility that will might reveal this anger that you.
You're right.
The guy who gets on the bus is going to reveal anger.
You're right. You're right. So the more a person is perush from the world, the less he's going to have the challenges. And the more a person is involved in the world, he's already going to experience some of them. So for sure, it's not as clear cut as the Rav's giving in this example, where he's parush and never even experiences. So for sure, in our lives before we get married, we're going to experience these, and we're going to know ourselves. Okay, you're right. I've got a little bit to work on here. I've got a little bit to work on there. And then it's what's missing is the extent of our work that we still need to do. Midot. What about midot? Ilu hayita mitchaten. If you would have got married, hayita sarech la'avir al midotecha. You would have had to. You'd have to work on your midot. Hayita megaleh kama ata rachot mizeh, and you would have realized how far away you are from this, right? From perfecting your midot. Simcha. What about simcha? Very happy. I'm very happy by myself. Everything is great. Happiest as I could be. Not so, says Rav Arush. Ulai nireh lecha she'ata hayita adam atzuv. Ele she'lo hayita. It might have seemed to you that you were not a sad person. I'm not a sad person. I'm quite happy, really. Aval ilu hayita mitchaten. But if you would have got married, hayita sarich lesameach et ishtacha. Then you actually need to make someone else happy. You need to make your wife happy. It's an obligation in the ketubah, and the Torah requires us to nesameach et ishtacha, to make your wife happy. Hayita ro'eh, you would have seen kama kasher lecha lismach, how difficult it is to make someone happy. V'kol shechen lesameach et ishtacha, even more so to make your wife happy. Ulhakshiv letalunot shela, and to listen, to pay attention to her complaints. Believe Paul, without falling into a terrible place.
Despair.
Without falling into despair, to make someone happy. Dror explained to us yesterday. He brought the pasuk that. The legs of a woman go down to the earth, to the grave, meaning that a woman is naturally rooted, even more than we are. We're also pretty much rooted down there, but a woman is naturally rooted in a very despairing place, right? Her natural tendency is to fall into despair and ya'ush, which is why we have an obligation to make her happy. Right? There's no obligation to do something to fix something that doesn't need fixing. Right? It's a problem that needs fixing, and we're tasked with the job to fix it. So we have a duty when we get married to make our wives happy, and you're going to need to do that. It's not just once every 2 or 3 years when she gets upset, you have to make her happy. Oh yeah, I remember that was in the ketubah. What should I? Oh yeah, I need to make you happy now. Come, let's be happy. Right? No, it's a daily task, right? That a person needs to. A person can only make someone else happy if they have happiness to give, enjoyment, excitement. If I'm full of depression, I can't really. It's hard to make someone happy if I'm full of. So then I'm revealed to myself actually where I'm holding in terms of happiness. Where's my joy and simcha in life? Baruch Hashem. All these things come to a person when he gets married. This is one of the reasons, one of the answers through this story. We'll finish here today. This is one of the answers in the story, that a person can understand what their real task is in life. What their real task is in life only comes through being married. Only through that setting, that template of marriage, can a person really start to work on themselves. And that being the case, no point hanging around, guys. Right? It's like saying, you know what, I'm not going to start working on myself really until I get to 25, 30, whatever the age is. No point starting working on myself now. I'll wait a bit. What am I waiting for? I'm kidding myself. I'm kidding myself if I think I'm doing Avodat Hashem better by not being married than I would be being married. I'm kidding myself. It's an excuse. It's my Mashian excuse. The truth is, I cannot read the first few pages of this book and not know for sure that my Avodat Hashem, what Hashem wants of me, is to be married and working on myself. And that anything else is simply an excuse to put off the hard work. I'm taking the easy work. I'll spend 24/7 in the Beit Midrash now. 24, just let me to the Beit Midrash. I won't leave. I'll get there in the morning. I won't leave till end of Seder at night. I'll do Tikkun Hatzot. I'll do everything. But just don't let me have to get married right now. Right? That's the easy work. It's not all hard work, right? We shouldn't make it such a scary thing. The rewards of a Shalom Bayit are beyond Gan Eden, right? Rav Arash also writes that at the beginning as well, you should know. They're beyond Gan Eden. It's the most wonderful thing. Person is fulfilling their tikkun. Person is really together with the neshama is whole. The neshama is currently empty, half empty. It's interesting, right? In the Likutei Moran, Rav Nachman brings that person needs to go through all the struggles of the world, all the struggles that exist in the world on a global level, on a local level, on an individual level. They're all the same. The whole world goes through the same thing that each individual needs to go through. All the wars between nations are the same as the wars between individuals. Everyone has to go through all of those things. For many reasons, if a person is in tune with themselves, he's in tune with what's going on in the world. It says a person who's not married has to go through all of that themselves internally, by themselves. When they're married, they go through it, their household becomes their kli, their place of experience and struggle. Through the house, the whole house, the wife goes through a struggle of losing a close friend. The child goes through a struggle of dealing with being bullied at school. Each one goes through what needs to be going through. But without that, I need to go through it all myself. Me, just only me. Because I am my house. I am my household. It's spread out amongst everyone else. So it's also another good reason to take the weight off, spread it out a bit, relax, enjoy. Bezrat Hashem will continue tomorrow.